Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we attempt to uncover the stories that the mainstream media largely won't cover, cut through the BS, and seek the truth. We've got a very busy show for you on this Monday. I'm in a great mood. Well-rested. Are you in a great mood?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's in a great mood. You're in for... Buckle up, buckle up.
Don't instigate, Clayton.
Oh, I'm the instigator in chief. We've got a very busy show for you coming up here. We're going to be talking about the very latest in Ukraine because Vladimir Putin issuing a pretty stern but kind of quiet statement about where things are headed next, and it is going to be bad. U.S. forces put on high alert as a result, and we are looking at basically a shitstorm that's about to unfold in Ukraine.
Also, did you know that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi racked up some more frequent flyer miles this weekend by heading to Armenia? Why is she going there? Why do we have a Secretary of State if she's going to do all of this diplomacy
right
for us? What is going on there? We're going to sort of pick apart what we do know and ask a lot of questions about what we don't.
Where was Blinken?
Where
was
Palestine?
Anthony Blinken? I mean,
he had a phone call.
Oh, he had a phone call. Okay.
So I guess she doesn't know how to use the phone, so she just went there.
She probably brought her son, probably was checking up on her investments.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the World Economic Forum and United Nations plan for the United States. This is a pretty stunning reveal. A whistleblower with high-level connections is going to blow the roof off the dump and explain what is the plan for North America. We're talking about Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and what it all has to do with immigration. It's actually a pretty startling story we're going to bring to you.
Plus, do you know your rights when you go through border security? Because they like looking through your phone. So we're going to talk about why they're doing this, collecting your data, what you can do about it, and what they're doing with it, your data.
That's right. Someone says, hey, in the chat, should we follow Nancy Pelosi's stock picks? Yeah, a lot of people make money off of her stock picks when she does all of this pre-investment strategy. Welcome into Redacted. The show starts right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Is our shot pixelated? Some people are saying the sound looks great, but the shot looks pixelated. I hope that's not the case. But,
no, not pixelated at all.
Okay, good, good, good. Hey, you know what was not pixelated? Did you guys watch that crazy-ass interview last night on 60 Minutes with President Biden? It was crazy. I mean, literally, there were so many pieces of that 20-minute interview where I was like, what the hell is happening? Am I in a bizarro world?
Yes, many pieces of it were trending. Now, we can't show it to you because 60 Minutes is very particular about who uses their content, but we can talk to you about it and tell you that it was a very strange thing. Now, as a journalist, I had a lot of problems with the softball questions that were lobbed at him by Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
One of which was just sort of a blatant... Like, he asked, how do you work across the aisle? You used to be able to do this, right, when you were a young senator. But back then, the problem was the other guy might have bad ideas, the other side, meaning Republicans have bad ideas, but you were able to get past it as a Democratic senator. But he's like, now the other guy across the aisle doesn't have bad ideas. He's a bad person.
Right.
And I was like, is that what we're saying now as journalists? I don't think that's Scott Pelley's place. To label the entire Republican Party as bad people.
Well, he watched the MAGA speech in Philadelphia last week in front of the V for Vendetta wall, the red wall, and he probably thought, okay, MAGA, everything MAGA is bad. So, he, you know, as a CBS journalist,
I guess
you're,
that's
you're
what he
tank.
Felt like he had to do.
You're in the tank for it.
I mean, that is journalism school 101 of what not to do. Well, he also was just kind. He called Hunter Biden like his lightning rod for controversy. Not that he's ever done anything wrong, right?
Yeah.
He completely just let him off the hook with any connections in Ukraine. He's like, well, a Republican investigation said that, you know, the vice president at the time did no wrongdoing. So that's okay. Like that was, it's nothing, yeah. But it will become something.
You know what? Yeah. You know what was my biggest issue is saying that he was going to send us to war in Taiwan. So that was to me a much bigger story like than all of this is like he's literally ready to say we're going to defend Taiwan in a war.
But in the middle of the piece, they said he said this. We followed up with the State Department. And they said, no, our policy hasn't changed.
No, they called 60. So he says, yes, we would send men and women into war in Taiwan.
Yes.
To defend Taiwan against China, right? And he says, we have a one China policy. So you're recognizing that Taiwan is China, and yet you would send American men and women to die to yes. defend Taiwan? While at the same time, then a few minutes later, well, Scott Pelley says, yes, as soon as we were done with the interview, we received a phone call from the White House, basically walking back the story.
Yes. As soon as he walked off the set, they called and said, he didn't really mean that. He meant it, but
it
he didn't mean it.
It was just Joe being Joe, you know, demented Joe once again.
Which, like, again, about his mental capacity, he's asked about it and said, what do you say to people? You're turning 80 this year. What do you say to people who say this is a concern? And he's like, watch me. And he does it with this sort of like, you know, narcissistic, like, watch me. You know, you just watch me.
Get his sunglasses
like,
on. Watch me. I'm Joe Biden. Like, just watch me. Just watch me. I mean,
what's hilarious about it is we have been watching you and these concerns persist.
I got it. Why do I have sunglasses up here?
It's a good question. No, they're just sitting up. What other props do you have? A boa?
I'm like Carrot Top. I'm the prop. I've got all sorts of props. I've got a chicken. I've got a rubber chicken. You want to see? I mean, it was just crazy. So we can't show you any of the clips from CBS because they copyright and the whole thing. But anyway.
He further said a couple of other things because this is top of mind and I was just yelling at my screen today. Okay. The pandemic's over. Mm. So if you are still being punished for not following any rules, don't worry. You can just play that. You know what you should do is clip it on your phone and show it to whoever gives you any crap about not following whatever rules and be like, no, this the president said.
Oh yeah, New York City.
So
David, didn't
people got their jobs back yesterday or today?
Yeah, no, that's not the case. But didn't yesterday literally in New York City a whole bunch of people got fired for not getting the vaccine? Like a whole yesterday.
I don't know about that, but he said the pandemic's over.
I guess they didn't get the memo up there in New York City.
Also,
he must have said it later in the day.
All the teachers, yeah.
And finally, he was pushed on how long we're going to stay in Ukraine. He said, "Is Ukraine winning?" Scott Pelley asked the president, "Is Ukraine winning because you are whatever, however many trillions over budget? How long are you going to stay in there?" And he's like, "As long as it takes.
As long as it takes."
And then he said, "Well, is Ukraine winning?" And he goes, "Well, with our support, Ukraine is now not losing." So that's comforting.
It's a ringing endorsement. We got them. We got them.
Right.
We're taking care of them. They're not. What did he say? They're not.
Bada bing, bada boom.
We got them. Welcome into the show. Hey, we've got a daily newsletter. We publish it every morning, first thing in the morning. It's if you go to Redact, you can sign up for free just by going to redacted.inc, not .com. Just go to redacted.inc. Click on the sign up for the email, and you'll be delivered first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. You can read it. We cover some things in case you missed it. We cover some of the market news. Bitcoin plummeted overnight. A lot of markets tanking. You know, see what's going on globally. And we have a couple of big stories that we follow as well in the newsletter. So again, please sign up. Go to redacted.inc. It's free and you support the show. You'll just need to make sure it doesn't go to your spam folder. A couple of people write and they say, I've signed up, but I don't know where it went. Well, it's probably in your junk or your spam folder. So please move it into your inbox so that that doesn't happen again. Okay.
Pardon me, guys. I'm dropping coasters over here, but yeah. I'm all good.
What are you doing over there?
I was just getting
Your bomb's knocking coasters off the table?
No. Yeah. I'm not. Hey, I noticed that when I was watching the royal funeral on YouTube, a lot of the stations had their comments turned off, so you couldn't say things. And then when I watched it on Twitter, the comments were on, and that was interesting. Our comments are on right now too. So,
yeah, we don't censor. We don't censor. Thank you guys. YouTube all does. Right, YouTube does. We don't. So if your comment, if you say something nasty or something, and you wonder like, where's my comment? It's because YouTube blocks it. So
actually, it doesn't even have to be necessarily nasty, but YouTube does filter out certain words, and so a lot of times, for instance, we see one right now. I'm not going to read that one. But anyway, you see our hands in the air. We don't filter them. YouTube holds them.
All right, let's go to our top story. Let's talk about what's going on in Ukraine. U.S. forces have been put on high alert overnight as Vladimir Putin has a message for them in the West. Get ready for all hell to break loose. That's basically the message. He didn't say it in that kind of way, but basically, get ready for all hell to break loose in Ukraine. We're going to show you the very latest out of Russia in a moment. But first, a massacre of innocent people took place this morning in Donetsk, in the People's Republic. The images are just beyond words. People going about their day, shopping, waiting for a bus. But of course, this has been happening in the Donbass for 8 years. We know about this, right? This week actually marks the 8th anniversary of the start of the genocide in Donbass. For the last 8 years, there has been a genocide there. For many of you watching our show right now, just a show of hands, like how many of you are aware that this has been happening? For a lot of you that watch our show for any length of time, you absolutely know that to be the case. You already know the truth. The evidence is overwhelming. It's irrefutable. And in 2014, the United States and Britain created a coup in Ukraine. This is how this all unfolded. And they installed a puppet NATO government in Ukraine. The ethnic Russians living in Donbass didn't like this government. They said, we don't like this. We don't like a government created by the United States and NATO. We don't want to have anything to do with it. It became known as the Russian Spring. We hear a lot about the Arab Spring. We never hear about the Russian Spring. This is true. And Russians living in Donbass said, no, thank you. We don't want your NATO puppet government. That puppet government is now led by an autocrat. His name is Vladimir Zelensky. You might have recognized him from his hit TV movie co-starring Ben Stiller. He's the guy in the green shirt there to your right. That's Ben Stiller on the left. It's a character he plays. He plays the role of president of Ukraine. He's playing it pretty well with all the photo shoots and all of the meet and greets and Zoom meetings that he does. Zelensky shut down television stations, you may recall, opposition media. He jailed political opponents. He's made journalists disappear. He's gotten filthy rich, of course, thanks to the billions of dollars that NATO money has poured into his country in the United States over the years. We've detailed, of course, the corruption within the government and how much they've made. It's listed as one of the most corrupt governments in Europe. All of this has been approved. All of this is known by the United States and NATO allies. It's part of the plan. In fact, it was all written down by the RAND Corporation, which we featured here on the show in those leaked documents last week on the show, that it was to use Ukraine as a proxy to provoke Russia into war. Right? That was the plan all along, with sanctions and NATO weapons, that they would weaken and destroy Russia. This was the plan. But human life was never part of the plan. It never is. It's always about money. It's always about power. Who cares about innocent people? Especially when big money is at play. These guys don't care about innocent people at all. And since 2014, tens of thousands of innocent lives wiped out in the Donbass, thanks to constant shelling, raining hell down on people, going about their business, their daily lives. Yes, bombings at malls, at grocery stores, at all manner of residential areas. For anyone living in these areas, they've watched constant bombings for 8 long years. They've lost everything. They've lost everything. In fact, this afternoon,
I just want to mention some statements where they had made, and I don't know how much I can say, but where they were basically saying to eliminate the children because they could become grown-up Russians. Like, that was the sentiment.
I don't doubt it. Absolutely. And of course, we've also seen the indoctrination camps and so forth. So,
well, this region fought tooth and nail against joining Ukraine when the new government was installed.
Yes.
For years and years, right? And so the government fought them back really hard, right? These are citizens who never really got, and they did have votes. These votes were, they were accused of not being legitimate or fair or what have you, but overwhelmingly people in this region do support a reintegration with Russia, just like many in Crimea were like, good, I've been waiting for this, right? Many in Crimea, when it became Ukraine, they said, what is this you did to my passport? I don't want to be Ukrainian, I'm Russian, right? And so, yeah. I mean, there obviously this is, there's a long and storied history there. We're being simplistic for the sake of time.
Well, and someone in our chat just said, why didn't the people of Donbass just move to Russia? And I know, like, and I'm not demeaning your comment in any way. It's a great question. But when people's ancestral home is in a place that they've spent with many generations, why would they just up and move, you know, to another country or to, you know, hundreds of miles away? Like, that's not necessarily easy for everyone, and not everyone has money.
Well, these are mostly like farmers, and
yes,
you know, they don't, they're, there's not people who can just pick up their farm and that they've had their entire, like, generations and just move it,
right? Just pick up and move. And not everyone has that kind of money. It's not, it's very, I get what you're saying, and maybe many of us in that situation might do the same. We would just pack up and get the hell out of there, right? Hurricane Katrina, you don't live in New Orleans anymore, you relocate to Houston, and that's now your life, right? You, that's it, right? But you know, this not the, it's not so easy for everyone to do that. And the fact this afternoon, though, something stunning happened in Donbass, the second Donbass Republic, a place called Donetsk, wants a referendum to join Russia. This happened this afternoon. The second Donbass Republic, following Luhansk, voting on uniting with Russia. This afternoon, the Civic Chamber of Donetsk People's Republic called on their local leaders to hold a vote as soon as possible. Quote, all of us feel and know for a long time that Donbass is Russia. We've been fighting for this for 8 long years. For this, we daily suffer strikes on our home, streets, hospitals, schools, and kindergartens. If you want to see the images, I encourage you to go and look at them. They're awful to look at. But follow Eva Bartlett on Twitter. She's been in, she just went back to Donetsk, and she was there today covering these awful, awful pictures. They will change your life when you look at them, but we should all see them because they're that important. We can't show them here. We'll be blocked. So they're sick of it. The people there are sick of it. They're sick of being attacked every day.
I mean, what are the chances the West allows a fair election, a fair vote on this?
Well, I don't think they'll have a choice, right? If it's just like a, if it's a people's referendum, and they then say, we are voting and we in the Donetsk are now going to be a part of Russia.
I mean, we see how modern day elections, though, can be manipulated. Look at the Brexit movement, right? So obviously this is something that can be resisted by the powers that be.
I mean, it will be, it you know, of course, you know how the Western media will spin it.
Of course.
Right? They'll spin it as, this is a sham election, this is a sham referendum vote. Like, you'll see it.
Or they want to be a part of Russia because they don't know any better. They're ignorant people. They don't understand that it's Russia that's hurting them.
Like, you should love every day to be shelled by people. Like, you should enjoy that, embrace that. Right.
For well, we have a pretty long-running tradition in the U.S., though, that any election that doesn't come, like, the outcome is not what we wanted, it was a fake election, and sometimes we'll actually go in, overthrow the government, and give them the chance to do it again until it looks like what we want. I mean, that is not out of the U.S., like, you know.
We love doing that.
Operations.
No, we love doing that. That's our modus operandi, right? So these people there, they're sick of it. In the Donbass, they are sick of it being attacked every day. For many of you, though, who are watching this show, be honest. There's nothing to be ashamed of. For many of you, this is new news. Like, you have no idea what we're talking about. You've never even heard of the Donbass. You've never even heard that they've been attacked for 8 years. You have no idea. Don't be ashamed about it. Just be honest. You never heard about it. A genocide, really? I've only heard that Russia attacked Ukraine in what CNN and mainstream media tells us is an unprovoked attack. That's all I hear, right? Here's mainstream media. Listen.
We are seeing a stunning turn of events in Ukraine 6 months after Russia's unprovoked invasion.
Unprovoked and unjustified attack on Ukraine.
They say Putin's unprovoked war in Ukraine has damaged Russia's future.
President Putin has launched a horrific, unprovoked attack on their country.
Oh. It's almost like they're reading off of cue cards, isn't it? Like, it's all part of a plan. They got the same
the crazy thing
freaking
is,
talking points.
The crazy thing is Putin warned for 8 years. He warned. He said that he was going to do what he did. Like, he gave us plenty of warning, told us what we should not do in order to prevent it, and right. we just kept doing it. It's like the Bart Simpson where she's saying, don't touch me. He's like, I'll quit it.
They keep doing it.
Poking the bear.
Yes.
And wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And there are many reports that Ukraine fired or ordered drone strikes on Crimea as recently as March 2021. That is a provocation. These are things that the Western media covered until they didn't. Right. And then they pretend that it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. And you can read all of the newspaper articles about how corrupt Ukraine was. I mean, it was just like awful. The United States State Department calling out the corruption and the human rights abuses in Ukraine. Suddenly, all of that stuff disappeared. Where'd that go? That's convenient. That's convenient, isn't it? But a genocide,
and
most
by
people
the way, go ahead. We do not cash our Kremlin checks, just so you guys know. Like, they send them, but we do not cash them. Because there's going to be people in the comments that are saying we're working for the Kremlin, we're Russian apologists, we're Putin apologists, but that is not what we are at all.
No, that just shuts down any kind of meaningful discussion about what's actually going on.
Right.
Here.
To say that this is pro-Russian is a Trump card to just throw it away. Say, I don't want to hear this. I want to just sort of funnel money towards Ukraine and feel better about myself and think that I am sort of preventing the Russian spread of dominance in the world. Right. Without thinking of any context.
Right.
So we are not pro anybody. We are absolutely anti-war. And we're talking about the narrative that gets people to continue to support a dragged out bloody war where people get killed like they did today.
So you might be forgiven if you watched all this mainstream media coverage where it's just an unprovoked attack. You don't know anything better because you're watching CNN. And that's not your fault. You just didn't know. I don't want to blame anybody. Right, this propaganda machine is strong, but you've probably been sitting there thinking a genocide in eastern Ukraine and Donbass? What are these guys even talking about? Well, you've never heard of it because you've been force-fed a steady diet of bullshit and propaganda from mainstream media working in lockstep with NATO for, you know, and working with the intelligence deep state for many, many years. Caitlin Johnstone, who's a great thinker, of course, anti-war. We are big anti-war fans around here on this show, if you haven't been able to tell. And she is a great thinker in that space. Caitlin Johnstone says says it best. She says, if we were being told the truth about this war, they wouldn't be banning Russian media. We wouldn't be hearing propagandistic messaging like unprovoked invasion at every mention of Ukraine. And those expressing scrutiny of all of this wouldn't be swarmed by AstroTurf Empire trolls. That's great, right? So you want to question this? You're going to suddenly be trolled right on Twitter, you know, by somebody with a Ukrainian flag emoji in their Twitter handle, right?
What does AstroTurf have to do with it in that context, do you think?
I don't know exactly how she would.
Someone with like a manicured lawn or something?
It's a slang term that gets used. Like AstroTurfing is I may get it wrong because it's like one of those things, like I'm slightly familiar with what it is, but it's like, I know that like they've recently accused like Elon Musk of AstroTurfing people by having people go out and just be like, almost like bots, like armies of people just spreading a certain message, like to acting as though they're normal people. They're not being paid to do it kind of thing. I mean, it's something along those lines.
Okay.
I may be getting it a bit wrong, but
all right.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
Because you're the cool Reddit dude here, so you would know the context. Thank you.
So just for some context here, in 2014, NATO-backed puppet government, they're agreed to leave these areas alone. This was the plan. They signed what were at the time known as the Minsk agreements with Russia. They would leave eastern Ukraine alone to live their lives. NATO wouldn't expand, and all would be good. This was the plan. Let me read to you just the first few lines of the Minsk agreements here on your screen. Package of measures for the implementation of the Minsk agreements. Number one, immediate and comprehensive ceasefire in certain areas of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions of Ukraine and its strict implementation starting at this on the 15th of February 2015. Number two, withdrawal of heavy weapons by both sides on equal distances in order to create a security zone of at least 50 kilometers wide. So that means getting rid of artillery systems with calibers greater than 100 millimeters and more. All sorts of huge, you know, anti-air artillery weapons to be removed, right? And for the Ukrainian troops to move back from this line of contact. right? So they knew what was happening here. And it was simple. Follow this. Right, it sounds great. The people of Donbass then could live in peace. No more shelling. That never happened. Well, almost from the very beginning of this NATO new puppet government launching a proxy war and violating the Minsk agreements, they started to shell this whole area. Like, they just immediately violated these Minsk agreements. Here's just a snapshot. If you want to see the amount of attacks, just keep this up on the screen here, over the last 2 years. Now, this, just bear in mind, this is not 8 years. This is just the past two. Now, notice the dip in the middle, always around wintertime. It kind of just, the shelling kind of slows down a little bit, right?
But notice that during the pandemic, like, it, you know, when we all went into lockdown, is this third bar from the left went up. This is March of 2020. So they didn't have to lock down for the pandemic.
No,
they ramped up.
They just kept shelling. So let me break this. What you're seeing on your screen here in orange is shelling, okay? Notice, by the way, at the end of the screen, all the way to the right, is February when the war started, the invasion started. Look at the increase in shelling. Look at the orange shelling just over the past. Again, these are just the past 2 years. Shelling, small arms and lightweight weapons, drones and airstrikes, sniper fire, all of this hitting Donetsk and or the Donbass. It only goes up there to January of this year. It's unbelievable.
Unprovoked, huh?
Unprovoked, right? So when you hear unprovoked, I want you to laugh at them. The people of Donbass had been asking for help from Russia for years, actually. They've been saying, you know, can Moscow help us? Putin tried to get Ukraine to stop the shelling, tried to get NATO to stop the shelling. At this stage, Putin had had enough, and he called it what it was, which was a genocide. And when 14,000 people are killed, that is a genocide. He met with German leader Olaf Scholz in January and told him straight to his face that ethnic Russians living in the Donbass being killed, they were being killed daily. And he told it in front of a large television audience so everyone could see it. Putin called it a genocide and said in January that they did not want a war, that he didn't want a war. He didn't want to have to go into this region and simply wanted the Ukrainians to put their weapons down and stop attacking the Donbass and enforce the Minsk agreements and that they signed, by the way, and then they violated. Here is Putin in his own words about that. Watch.
Позволю себе только добавить, что по нашим оценкам, то, что происходит на Донбассе сегодня, это и есть геноцид. Но для нас это может быть уже поздно. Поэтому мы хотим решить этот вопрос сейчас. Вот прямо сейчас, в ближайшее время, в ходе переговорного процесса. Повторю, полученные нами от Соединенных Штатов и других и членов НАТО ответы на предложения по гарантиям безопасности, на наш взгляд, не отвечают упомянутым трем базовым российским требованиям. Присутствует ряд соображений, которые мы не только не против обсуждать в предыдущие годы, по вопросам европейской безопасности, по вопросам определенных систем вооружений, имеется в виду ракеты средней и меньшей дальности, и военной транспарентности. Мы готовы к этой совместной работе и дальше. По поводу, хотим мы этого или нет. Конечно, нет. Именно поэтому мы и выдвинули предложение о переговорном процессе, результатом которого должна быть договоренность об обеспечении равной безопасности всех, включая нашу страну.
Including our country. Seems reasonable, right? Stop killing people. Stop moving NATO forces into this area. And oh, by the way, why don't you live to follow the Minsk agreements that you signed? You're violating that peace agreement, so stop that shit. That's the idea. That's what he was basically saying.
Well, look at World War II. I mean, Russia lost 25 million people fighting the Germans, and we came in at the last minute, and we worked with them. We still get the credit to this day, but most of the liberation was done by Russia, and that's why when they call this a invasion, I don't like that. I call it a liberation because that's what they're doing, and I don't understand why we would be on the side of, you know, them during World War II, but another genocide that's going on now. Why are we picking a side in that?
Well, that's a bigger conversation about hegemony, I think.
And the U.S. dollar and the power, right? I mean, yes, and this speaks to what's going on in China and Taiwan. So it speaks to a declining U.S. dollar and a declining U.S. hegemony and a rising power in Eurasia. And you're mm-hmm. absolutely seeing that with mineral resources and manufacturing and the value of the currency tied to gold and silver. And so it's about money. It's about power. It's about hegemony in the world.
Yes.
I mean, that's maybe a little simplistic, but I think, you know, it's...
Well, it is. I just basically like saying, because if you look at the hypocrisy of the United States, we say we want to go help Venezuelans get their basic human rights, but we can't. We don't care about the basic human rights of the people in the Donbass. Like, you know, it's like, why do we always choose sides? And that's the hypocrisy of the United States foreign policy.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. We're going to talk in a few minutes about Armenia and why we decided to sort of stick our, you know, spoon in that pot. Yes, it is. You know, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance to further an agenda of keeping world dominance or what is left of it.
So you're violating this peace agreement, Putin says. But NATO, that didn't stop NATO. They directed Zelensky to escalate the actions with increased attacks, moving troops towards Crimea. As a reminder, over 90% of the people in Crimea are ethnic Russian and want nothing to do with Ukraine. Ukraine blacked out the media so that no Western journalist could see any of this. The media blackout continues to this day. Here's CNN just a few days ago admitting that they can't get accurate information because, you know, Ukraine won't allow it.
Say Ukrainian authorities, but remember that this is really hard for us to verify because of the media blackout. Journalists just not allowed to get close to the front lines of those counteroffensives.
Oh, that's interesting. Really? So we can get accurate information then from the Ukrainian side. So if you notice, a lot of the propaganda that we see comes from Ukrainian officials say. That'll be how you read your news articles when you see it in the Associated Press or Wall Street Journal or otherwise. Ukrainian officials say. Oh, so we get our news from Ukrainian officials who say this, right? But we don't get it from journalists because they're media blacked out. They're not allowed to go there. They're blocked from that.
As long as we're talking about superpowers... Crimea was originally settled by the Tatars, which was a Muslim-speaking and Turkish population. They still have representatives there who don't really identify with either side of this war. They absolutely don't really get a vote. Like, no one's asking them right. what they wanted from this land originally.
Like Native Americans.
Yes. Yeah.
So 8 years later, Ukraine has regained land in the Donbas over the past few weeks. And over the weekend, they've increased attacks on residential neighborhoods. They attack journalists trying to cover the story from Donbas. Remember, Ukraine doesn't want you to see what's happening. Meanwhile, this weekend, American generals put U.S. troops in Europe on high alert because they don't know what Putin's next move will be. So this is General Mark Milley in Poland yesterday. Said he wants all troops on high alert and ready for action. What's he so concerned about? Since the invasion, the U.S. has added roughly 10,000 troops in Europe. Many based in NATO states that border Russia, like Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And I wonder why Nancy Pelosi just flew to Armenia, which is another border state. Interesting. We've also added another 4,700 troops from the 101st Airborne Division from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Those were already being deployed to Europe. Putin has a big message for Zelensky, though, and NATO forces. He was asked about the continued attacks in Europe. He was asked about the continued attacks in eastern Ukraine, and Putin had a forceful message. He said, "We're witnessing attempts to stage terror attacks, attempts to damage our civilian infrastructure. We respond to this with restraint, but only for the time being." Here he is in his own words, but translated.
It's not just some kind of mild warning. It is special military operation, after all. But we see these attempts to launch some terrorist attacks, to deal some damage to our civilian infrastructure. That's true. We are reacting in restrained manner until certain point. Recently, Russian armed forces dealt a couple of significant blows. So let's consider it a warning. If the situation will continue to develop in this manner, then we will respond in more serious way.
So Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova warns that if the U.S. decides to supply weapons to Ukraine with longer-range missiles, it will cross Russia's red line and they would become a party to the conflict. She also said Russia reserves the right to respond adequately if the U.S. decides to do so. And the U.S. just announced a new weapons package to Ukraine, advanced rockets that will travel up to 50 miles. That's about 80 kilometers. And all of this to say that their military knew about all of this. So Mr. Sivkov, who is a spokesperson for the Academy of Artillery and Rocket Science, says that one of the general, he was a member of the general staff, said this, and I'm going to read a quote this afternoon from a news report. This is the Russian side saying this. Our military, and they're referring to the Ukrainian offensive. Our military knew that an offensive was being prepared. So now the troops are regrouping to destroy the grouping of the armed forces of Ukraine, which has come into the Isium region. It must be borne in the mind that there are no fortified areas there. So the task of destroying the most combat-ready Ukrainian units will be solved quite successfully. This will take a few more days. This is what we talked about, guys, a few weeks ago. This idea of leading them into this funnel, that appears to be what's going to happen. Now, Putin's not saying that, but he is saying we are sitting back and we are ready and we're operating with restraint and only for the time being. And once these forces have left all those trenched areas where they were fortified for a long time, and now they get up and they leave those areas, now they're out in the open. And we could see hell unfolding in Ukraine over the next few days, few weeks here. It's going to be a brutal, brutal autumn in that region.
I just wonder how much of this is rhetoric and how much of this is really going to come to fruition on either sides, right? Because Russia continues to say, if the United States continues to get involved, continues to send weapons,
Red line. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We've been saying this for a long time, and it's terrifying all of us.
Right.
Meanwhile, President Biden is saying, oh, we're in this for as long as it takes. These are our red flags. And so, I don't know, in 2014, when Russia moved into Crimea, there was a Financial Times cartoon that had a NATO general saying, well, we're not just talking tough on Russia, we're threatening to act tough too. So, at the time, the sentiment was that the West was sort of just saying threatening words but did nothing, right? And right. Now the West is doing a lot, and it's hurting themselves. Ourselves, I guess, since I live in the Western world. And so, there's a lot of I feel a lot of anticipation, I think, like everyone else that's watching us right now and unsure what to even, how to feel or what to know how to live around this.
I mean, the truth will be in, the proof will be in the pudding, right? I mean, I guess once, if we see a major military attack by Russia against these targets in Eastern Ukraine, well, that's all the proof we need, right? And then if the United States continues to cross that red line, what will Russia do? Will that continue to be bluster? Will they actually, attack American ships in the Black Sea? I mean, who knows at this point? I mean, here, don't forget, they're actively attacking United States military equipment on a daily basis.
Yes.
They're destroying and they're actively engaged in fights with U.S. Special Forces, with NATO forces. So this idea that it's just Ukrainians against Russians is laughable, and by the way, demonstrably provable that it's false. So I guess we'll see. But prepare yourselves, guys. We're going to be following this story all week and again, U.S. forces on high alert right now in Poland. So we'll see if there's more deployments to Ukraine from the United States side and the NATO forces. We've got more news to get to on the show. We're going to talk about Armenia, which could really become the United States NATO's next proxy war. We're going to look at the World Economic Forum's plans for the United States, North America, Canada, and Mexico, and what it has to do with immigration. We're also going to look at Border Patrol pirates stealing your data, all of this and more. But first,
We're going to talk about Armenia. Do you want to do that?
Yes.
Right now? Okay. And the chat room, before we get into this story, informs me that I said tater wrong.
You said taters.
Tater. Tatar.
You said
I don't
taters.
Know. It's spelled T-A-T-A-R, right? I read a lot of books. I don't speak to a lot of humans, just so you know. I only speak to Clayton and David and Philip. So
right.
Would you say that some other way? Have you ever heard it said differently?
Tartar, right?
No, there's no
like tartar.
What do you
tartar
know?
Tartar sauce. Tartars. It's the tartars.
I looked for
it's tartar.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tartar. Yeah. Like tartar.
But there's no R in it.
It's pronounced tartar. See? Tartar. See? Like tartar sauce.
But there's no R in it. Tatar.
What are you going to do? It's Russian.
Tatar.
Okay. Tatar. Okay. All right, fine. This happens a lot where I read something in a book and then I say it out loud and I say it wrong. Because like I said, I don't speak to a lot of adults. So I apologize. Like I was reading Harry Potter with my kids and I pronounced the fight that English people have with each other, a row. And I think it's a row. If you get in an argument,
yeah,
you have a row. Right. A row. I didn't know this. So I apologize. Okay. Are you ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay. We want to ask you a question. Why do you think Nancy Pelosi is traveling again on taxpayer dollars, this time to Armenia? Is she the new Secretary of State? Last week, Azerbaijan attacked inside the country of Armenia, not along the contested border, but inside sovereign territory. And by many accounts, over 200 people were killed, civilians as well as military. Speaker Pelosi says that her trip was not actually planned around this conflict. She was speaking in Yerevan this weekend, and she said that she was there to stand in partnership with Armenia as the highest-ranking official to ever visit Armenia. But she told reporters last week that the trip was, quote, rather spontaneous when she confirmed that she was going. But then when she was there, she said this in her speech. She said, "We didn't plan this around what happened last week. This trip was planned before that. But it so happens that we come in time and person, strongly condemn Azerbaijan's recent attack on Armenia." So which is it? Was it spontaneous or wasn't it? Seems to me that it was.
It literally was like 2 days later.
Yes.
Suddenly she's there after this, now this, by the way, is an unprovoked attack, right? So this is actually an unprovoked attack. And then 2 days later, she's in Armenia.
Yes.
The Speaker of the House with a whole entourage.
Well, she told reporters, "Yes, spontaneously, I'm going to Armenia today." And then when she was there, she's like, "We didn't plan this." And you just happened. It was like, "I happened to be in town for this to
happen."
Something
doesn't smell right.
Right. Okay.
It sounds like maybe Nancy Pelosi plays like airline roulette, where she just gets on a random plane and then she shows up. She's like, "Oh, I'm in Armenia.
Where am I going for vacation today?"
Right.
Oh, just throw it. You know, she's fun. She throws a dart at a map, you know, and she's like, "Where am I going?" Oh, Armenia. Just happens to have been attacked. And it happens to be a border state with Russia.
Like Harry and Meghan happened to be in town when the Queen passed. Right. These things are a little too convenient.
Right.
All of these things. Let's not talk about the royals. Our chat room hates it. Okay. Right. In fact, Nancy Pelosi is the highest ranking U.S. official to ever visit Armenia. No U.S. president or vice president has ever visited. And since she is third succession to the presidency, she is, in fact, the highest ranking official to make a diplomatic visit. Maybe that is why Secretary of State Antony Blinken would not do this time when it came to talking about how America wants to divide Armenia and Russian loyalties. She said this in a speech over the weekend. Here's an expert. She says, "Let me just say in that regard that Armenia is at the center of this debate between democracy and autocracy with its proximity to Russia. But it's also part of our global discussion, our contrast between the two. So we find this to be a perfect time to be here as to what is going on in Ukraine, their fight for freedom, as we advocate a peaceful resolution of what is happening here."
What?
So the U.S. is clearly drawing parallels between Armenia and Ukraine, saying they both are attacked countries and that it's Russia as the autocracy behind it.
Well, it's hilarious to think, first of all, what a pile of garbage, right? When you think about who's actually been supplying weapons and support to Azerbaijan, Israel, right? What does that have to do with Russia? In fact, it's the opposite of that. And they actually Azerbaijan and Armenia have a good relationship with Moscow.
Yes.
So what is she even talking about?
I don't know. She already is telling us, though. So let's watch for this. Like, let's all just sort of mark it in our brains that the United States is going to tell us that this conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan is Russia's fault and that it will further justify anti-Russian sentiment and whatever else it is they want. Right. So you've been warned here that this is the narrative that they will use, even though clearly, yes, this is not a Russian conflict, right? Armenia is supported by Russia. In fact, Armenia has been calling on Russia as its ally Per a longstanding agreement called the CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty Organization, this is their version of NATO. The United States does not want Armenia to solidify its friendship with Russia. So that's why this timely visit, right? So let's just sort of think for a second. All the airline miles that Nancy Pelosi has racked up this year for diplomacy, when she is not the Secretary of State, but is behaving as such. She's been to Ukraine in May. She went to Taiwan in August. Mm-hmm. Armenia in September. Why do we have a Secretary of State exactly if she's going to do all of these things? Even Antony Blinken hasn't been to those places with this frequency. But he did have a phone call. He issued this statement here about his phone call with the president of Azerbaijan saying, yes, we welcome, you know, a halt to recent hostilities. So he's doing something, right? That's nice.
What was hilarious, too, the other day when we talked about Armenia last week after the attack took place, it was a tale of two comments from Antony Blinken, right? On the one hand, his comments about the unprovoked attack, right, of and Russia's aggression will not stand, because he talked about a recent attack in August or in early September, and he said this will not stand. You will pay for this, basically. And then Azerbaijan's attack of Armenia, it was like, you know, maybe you guys should stop this. Like, that's pretty nice. Like, really? You know, put them on the same. Why aren't you putting them on the same scale here? Like, what's the difference? Why do you get to pick and choose which ones you want to support and which ones you don't?
Maybe I should stop this. You guys should stop it.
Oh, stop it, you guys.
Like when your kids are fighting in the back and you're like, I want you to knock that off, but I can tune it out if you're not going to. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the conflicts really at place here? Because it's clearly about more than a border dispute, right? Because does the United States really care about this border dispute? No. They care about loyalties. But Armenia does seem to be hedging its bets. They are calling on all world powers, which absolutely you can't blame them. If someone's, you know, harming your people, then you call in all stops, right? So they did call Prime Minister of Armenia, Pashinyan, called Russian President Putin. He called French President Emmanuel Macron. He called U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. He called Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi. And he also called the U.N. Security Council. But obviously, these world powers cannot work together for a common goal of protecting Armenia. They are not friends.
Right.
So the concern of Armenians is that the government is playing both sides and will end up getting help from neither.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy when you have, just think about geopolitics, right? Just think about this mess. I think the Armenia story is incredibly important. And, you know, for a lot of Americans, it'll just fly right over their heads and not really paying attention to this. I think Europeans hopefully may be paying more attention. This to me is the next proxy war. And you've got Iranians in northern Turkey who are being wound up by Azerbaijan, trying to get them to basically separate themselves from Turkey, causing a problem. You have Israel supplying weapons into that region. You have the support of Moscow on both sides. You have the United States and NATO now sticking its neck into Armenia, trying to solidify that partnership to create another Ukraine. It's a total shit show.
Yes. So last week we had journalist Kevork Elmasian on the show, and he has been covering this conflict for a long time. He is Armenian by blood, and he is very critical of the government. He's saying, this is from an article he wrote and posted to his Facebook page today, so I'm going to give you an expert. He says that Nancy Pelosi's visit to Armenia has one goal, to assure that Pashinyan remains in power, to ensure that Armenia continues to turn towards the U.S., and to prevent any attempts to join the Eastern Bloc, to which Armenia organically belongs. That's what he believes, right? He says, I don't understand the qualifications of the Armenian speakers during these demonstrations who call for Western peace forces in the Caucasus are basically calling for Armenia's death sentence. He says, this is his prediction. Do they know that if Russia feels Armenia is moving towards demanding Western forces in this region, then it will lead to a coup in Armenia within 24 hours and Russia's occupation of all of Armenia? Do these people know that Russia prefers to include Armenia in the Russian Federation and will do so if it sees that its interests in this region are threatened? So what he's saying is an annexation like Crimea. That is a shocking prediction. The West clearly would not take kindly to that. We'd have a much bigger conflict on our hands, right? So is this extreme or is this writing on the wall?
I mean, we saw it already. We've seen it. Like, again, that's why I'm a student of history. You study these things because they repeat over and over again. And if you can either prevent them or you can prepare for them, right? 2014, we saw a coup fomented by U.S. NATO forces in Ukraine.
Well, he is saying that the Velvet Revolution of 2018 was also instigated by the deep state of the United States in Armenia, and that Pashinyan is a U.S. puppet.
Yeah. It basically says he's weak, you know, and is not looking to secure borders, not looking to stand strong for the Armenian people. And so there probably needs to be a change in that country. And of course, if the Caucasus are threatened, this is going to be a major problem. But again, yes, of course, the United States and NATO would love nothing more than to have U.S. military presence in Armenia and setting up military bases there and using Armenia as another wedge against Russia in this region. Absolutely the case.
Yes. And we must remind you that Azerbaijan is funded by Israeli money. High-tech weapons, highly trained specialists who can use those weapons, right? And who is Israel aligned with? They're besties with the U.S., right? So we see the power alliances here. How can Azerbaijan be aligned with Israel and the United States, and the United States also come around and say to Armenia, don't be friends with Russia, we got you, but we're also friends with that side, right? And also, I think we should be reminded of the Iranian role at play here. And again, I'm going to let Kavork Almasian explain it to us. This was from his piece last week on this show.
Russia cannot also tolerate losing Armenia in that region. They are trying to regather the former Soviet Union countries, at least internally, in order to be part of any economic projects in the Eurasian side or in the CSTO, militarily speaking and economically speaking. So Russia cannot tolerate that, but also Iran cannot tolerate that. This is very important. People aren't talking much about Iran, but I think Iran is more enthusiastic to defend its borders, and they don't want to have any change in the borders.
Yes.
This is an incredibly important topic. And I saw, you know, a lot of people in our comments saying, thank you for covering this topic. I want to learn more about this. And I see other people saying, you know, can we move on to another topic? I want to say this is an incredibly important topic. And you're not going to, if you want to watch CNN or Fox News or something where they're going to do a 3-minute segment and they're just going to whine about, they're going to.
Although, you know, sometimes I've watched the volume of our viewers and people seem to be interested in these deep dives into global topics like this.
Of course, that's why they're here.
And you guys are still here. Thank you for staying for
that's
this.
Because they get it nowhere else.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you guys. I love seeing all of your comments. I mean, and again, incredibly important. So thank you for being engaged and being a part of our show and subscribing to what we do here.
You are here for it, as the kids say. So some important questions, right, that we still don't have answers to, but we have very high suspicions of who's pulling the strings, who is here just to weaken who, right? Is Nancy Pelosi really coming here to, like, you know, pay lip service to her love of Armenian people because she loves the Kardashians, right? Who is taking advantage of the enemy having more conflicts that it can handle? Seems both sides feel like the, you know, other side is very thinly spread for proxy wars, but it's civilians who will suffer. Clayton just told you that the U.S. top general Mark Milley visited Poland this weekend, and he says that he's there to check up on Ukraine, but not only on, he's not in Ukraine. He went to prepare for what Russia may do in retaliation for losing battlefield, but he went to Poland in order to sort of peek out over the border and see right. what he can do, right? According to the Wall Street Journal, this is part of his motivation, right? So since this invasion, the U.S. has added roughly 10,000 troops in Europe, many based in northern NATO states that border Russia, like Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. In June, the army said that roughly 4,700 troops from the 101st Airborne Division based out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, would be deployed to Europe. Now, you notice not mentioned there was Armenia, but you better believe that the U.S. would love to put some troops there, too.
Yes.
Based on their location. So we can see at least some part of the motivation for Nancy Pelosi just spontaneously hopping on a plane because she felt like, I don't know, having some tabbouleh.
Right. That's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, you just watching it unfold, guys, right before your eyes. The United States is involved in, we have, 900 military bases around the world. The United States does. Of course, they would love to add more. They would love to have more presence in this region. They would love to be in the Caucasus. They would love to be further, right up against the border with Russia. And it came at a perfect opportune moment for them, right? Ukraine was making advancements against Russian military in the eastern part of Ukraine. There were some victories there. President Putin was flying to meet with Xi Jinping. All of this happened. And then at midnight, when this is all unfolding, suddenly there's an unprovoked attack by Azerbaijan against Armenia. It's almost as if like someone planned all of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, we're being played, guys. That's the problem. I just want people to understand and wake up. We are being played by these people. And if we just have this awareness about how they're playing us, then we can throw them out. We can demand new governments. But we're not going to be a party to their like games anymore. It's ridiculous.
Well, what I want to know, if Nancy's going to Taiwan and these places, like, when is she going to go to Palestine and do her, you know, like to solidify those people?
I know you've been calling for that. I would love to see that, but yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
Come on.
I mean, again, we call out, you know, how many times do we want to stand and call out all of the crimes against these countries attacking other countries, and yet there's never a mention of the Israeli attacks. There's none of that. There's no mention of that. It always just gets, you know, missed somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, we've got more news we're going to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about what's going on in the World Economic Forum and their plans for the United States of America and North America, and as it relates to Canada and Mexico. We're also going to look at how the Border Patrol has been stealing your information. This is an unbelievable story. We're going to get to that in a second. But I want to tell you about our folks from Gerber Life. Did you know that Gerber Life Guaranteed Life Insurance provides valuable whole life insurance protection to cover your final expenses? It's true. It can help with expenses such as medical bills, burial costs, unpaid debts. It helps protect your family from the financial burden of your final expenses. If you're between 50 and 80 years old or 50 to 75 in New York, your coverage is guaranteed with this policy regardless of your health. There's no medical exams to complete or lengthy health questionnaires to fill out. All you need to do is visit GerberLifeFamily.com. That's the website. GerberLifeFamily.com, and premiums don't increase over time. The amount you pay when coverage begins is the same amount you'll pay throughout the duration of our policy. Just answer four easy questions to get your free personalized quote instantly by visiting GerberLifeFamily.com. See their website for terms and restrictions. Our thanks to Gerber Life Family. All right, we've got more news. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our great show here. We really appreciate it. And thank you for smashing that like button as well. Now, some people were telling me, I think a friend or family member was saying, I try to smash the like button, but it shows, for some reason, I can't find it. So if you're watching us on mobile, I don't know where it is. Like, if you're watching us on an iPhone, can someone let us know in the chat where it is on an iPhone, how you smash the like button, and maybe on an Android phone as well, how that works? If you're watching us Apple, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So if you're watching on mobile, you've got, it looks like this because you've got the chat here coming down. You have to hit the X up here over the chat. So I'm going to hit that X. And as soon as that goes away, you've got all the like live chat, all that other stuff. So it's because the live chat's in the way. So just do that. And then when you're ready, click live chat again, on there, and it brings up the chat again, and you'll be good to go.
Okay. Good, good, good. And then, of course, if you're watching us on if you're watching us on an Apple TV or a Roku device or something like that, it's very, very simple. You just swipe up using the remote control, and hold on. There's a power button. Just press it down. Hold it. Yeah, just press the button down.
It's not working.
There's a power button. Just hold it down. 2 seconds. There you go. All right. Sorry. Natalie's playing with a camera. Get back over here.
Hey, God. I'm going to freak out.
Do you know how electronics work? Just press the damn button.
I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is flip out.
Freak out. Yeah.
Freak out around here.
This fish has manners. All right.
All right. All right, let's talk about North America. Let's talk about Canada and Mexico. And this story is unbelievable. If you've been wondering, like, what in the world is happening? Why are we hearing continual stories about, like, America's borders just being like a porous sieve? Thousands of people pouring across the border on a regular basis. We hear about people sleeping in tents all over through Texas and into Florida and Alabama and all the places, right? They're being bussed and flown up to Martha's Vineyard now. So what in the world is going on? America has an absolute immigration problem, and that's no secret. But could it be that it's all part of a bigger plan? Could it be that this was all planned from the beginning? Makes you wonder, right? I never really thought about it this way. I mean, I knew that Democrats certainly wanted it this way, but I didn't really think that, wow, there was something larger at play here. Maybe the World Economic Forum, the United Nations working in cahoots on all of this? Well, we'll get there in a second. But first, Lara Logan, excellent independent journalist, she blew this story out of the water, and it is literally mind-blowing. So I just want to set this up. I want her to explain what she thinks about the American border situation. She was on the Steve Bannon show. It's amazing he can still do a show. Like, I'm curious, like, when he's not been, like,
right? How does he get away with?
They keep like
things.
Grabbing him, and then he goes back to doing a show. And anyway, just focus on Lara Logan, okay? And I want you to listen to what she says about the border, and then we're going to get into some more nuggets here. Just listen.
Is the border of the United States not only not secure, but is there definitionally an invasion of this country, ma'am?
The border is wide open because we are living under a globalist policy of open borders. So there is no border security to speak of. Weapons are flowing across, drugs are flowing across, people are flowing across, money is flowing across, illicit funds, and so on and so on. I mean, everything that comes with an open border is what's flowing.
Okay. So we know that, right? The border is wide open. I think he was just setting her up. Like, what is your response to this? What do you see here? But then she drops the bomb. Okay. She's starting to drop the bomb here. And so she has a source. Might be hard to understand with her accent, but she has a source inside at a high level at the United Nations who just made a jaw-dropping statement. Listen to what she says.
And the reason it's happening, Steve, it's not just an invasion. It is an invasion, but an invasion that is part of a long-term plan and political ideology to obliterate the sovereignty of this nation and change the way the world looks forever. It's not just America's sovereignty that's on the chopping block. It's sovereignty all over the world. It's just that this is the place that is the light and the guide for the whole world.
So it's a part of a plan? That we're just having porous borders and thousands of people are pouring across the border every day? Like, what would be the motivation for that? Why would they do that in the United States? Well, now it's coming together. So pay attention to what she says next. Listen.
And what I learned from a source who is a very unique source, having infiltrated the globalist cult at the UN level, is that he was in high-level meetings that required a number of security clearances where they actually discussed the plan to bring 100 million people into the United States in order to pave the way for a regional government of U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
What? This was the plan. A high-level source at the United Nations with multiple levels high of security clearance, saying that this was discussed, authorized, executed upon to allow 100 million people to pour across the border into the United States, therefore completely altering. We've already seen it altering voting landscape in the United States.
Yes.
Right. Maybe not to the way that Democrats had hoped, actually, certainly changing the demographics of state after state after state to have 100 million new people in the United States. In many ways, and you what she's saying is it would just make it like irrelevant to have borders. What's crazy?
What's crazy is like there was a long time ago, probably 15, 20 years ago at this point, that I listened to Alex Jones and he talked about this back then.
I just saw someone in the chat saying Alex Jones has been saying this for years.
Yes, that's crazy. For a very long time. Yeah, it is crazy.
And I've never heard that.
So this is ordained by the United States, or it's a United Nations plan outside of, like, in on the underground.
So I think the way to look at this, right, is that, and I know your trepidations on all of it, because it's scary, right? It's like the, really?
I'm not trepidatious about it, but I have a lot of questions.
I'm trepidatious about it, but I've like now, like I'm just, I see how these globalists were. Now that we have enough people who have been a part, we've seen their documents, we've seen it written down, we've seen leaked memos, we've mm-hmm. seen these meetings come out, we've seen hidden videos of them admitting to this. Like enough is enough. And by the way, we're seeing it in action, right? We're seeing it with the pandemic. We're seeing it with lockdowns. We're seeing it with what's going on in Ukraine and sanctions and energy crisis and energy prices and everything. Of course, it's all been planned, right? The Beyond Meat, getting rid of meat, all of it's coming together.
Right.
So, you know, the United Nations is just simply like a mouthpiece for these unelected globalists. That's it, right? So is the United States, right? So these unelected globalists are running the show.
Okay, sure.
So the unelected globalists, the Klaus Schwabs, the people, the billionaire class who are running everything are just basically funneling money and picking and choosing their winners. You have the BlackRocks, the Vanguards of the world who are funneling. They own everything, right? So they don't want borders. Borders makes trade inconvenient. It makes commerce inconvenient for them. And so imagine 100 million people moving into the United States. It would make these borders artificially that are there anyway, worthless. And to create like a new North American European Union, basically.
Yeah.
We already have it with NAFTA, right? We already have it with trade agreements. Why not just get rid of the borders altogether and just call it what it is?
Did you know that?
Well, in my journey...
Go ahead, please.
Sorry. Well, I was just going to say my journey of like getting to where I'm at today, like I started off and like the first rabbit hole I went down, I was like, oh no, I don't want to believe this. This was so hard to believe. But then when you go through that over and over and over again, and you just realize these people are not here for us at all. Yeah. Globally, they're not here for the people. They're here for their own interests. And so once you start to look at everything through that lens, every narrative that they put out starts to fall apart.
Yeah. It's scary. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
So I just want to listen to that soundbite again. Let's play that soundbite again where she talks about this source at the United Nations. Listen.
And what I learned from a source who is a very unique source, having infiltrated the globalist cult at the UN level, is that he was in high-level meetings that required a number of security clearances where they actually discussed the plan to bring 100 million people into the United States in order to pave the way for a regional government of U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
It's unbelievable. And so I'll wrap it up with this, what she says finally here on this plan. Listen.
And that was to bring in 100 million people from Latin American countries together with a strategy of creating these cartels, making life unbearable. It's called a push-pull strategy, where they push all these people out of these countries where it's unbearable living like this. And they pull them into the United States. And then once you reach that critical number of over 100 million in this invasion, they will then propose that, well, for your family and friends back home who need, you know, you need ease of travel, they need a better life and so on and so on. And we can do all this better with a regional government than we can with a U.S. government. And they will have enough critical mass inside the country in order to effect that policy. That's the globalist plan that we're working towards. But what we're already doing is living under their policy, where they've made the right to migrate a human right, recognized the UN in 2018, and that now supersedes our sovereign right thanks to the Biden administration and the open border ideologues who are in this government, who were never asked to be honest about their strategy in the campaign trail, who have bypassed the legislature and are implementing a strategy and a policy that not only did no Americans vote for it because they weren't even given the opportunity, but most Americans don't support.
Oh, that's heavy stuff.
She's an investigative journalist and one of the best in the business. And I mean, to have that, I would love to see documentation of this. And I'm going to reach out to Laura. I'd love to have her on the show to go deeper into this subject. And I think it makes total sense, though, when you see all of this coming together like this, and you wonder, like, why is no one stopping this? Like, why are the borders just an absolute disaster zone right now in the United States? It's really, really troubling.
Well, and also the immigrants are being used as pawns right now. They're like a political chess. They're sending them to Martha's Vineyard. Like, the Republicans are sending them into Democratic states. The Democrats are blaming Republicans. Like, it's like they're just being used right now. And so it is completely crazy down there. And it's like, is this planned? Is this like the chaos that they want us to focus on while they're just sending people in? Because did you see those stories on Fox News where they were just busing people to different cities in the United States in the dark of night?
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, to Martha's Vineyard over last week, Ron DeSantis.
In daylight, though. They want those people to be seen in those places.
And then, of course, a few days later, they got them in a bus and took them off of Martha's Vineyard via ferry and then onto a bus now in Cape Cod. So they got them off of the island. And I mean, it's just like, you imagine, and I was thinking about, like, these poor people. Like, I mean, they're just in these buses. They're like, where are we going now? You know, you got kids. Like,
yeah, they're just Dad, trying to get a better
now?
Life.
Where are we going now? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to get a better life, and we're using them like political tools.
I would love to hear from our viewers what you guys think about this. Do you believe this story? Do you believe this story? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the borders and how the border police, the border protection officials, more border related news. You know, for a while you said, like, hey guys, you guys got to cover the border stories. You guys got to cover the border stories. Now we've got two for you. Two in one show. We've got a twofer.
All right. Well, this next story is about the government looking into what you do in your digital world. So we're going to first, before we get to that story, tell you how you can protect yourself inside your digital world. Have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's not as incognito as you think, because incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is a Google product, and Google has made its fortune by tracking you and all your movements online. In fact, there's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Huh. Google's defense, well, incognito mode doesn't necessarily mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself invisible online? You use a VPN. Specifically, ExpressVPN is the one that we use, because this is how you mask yourself on the internet. Every time you connect to ExpressVPN, you get a random IP address shared by many other ExpressVPN customers. This makes it harder for third parties to identify you or harvest your data. Basically, you take yourself and you put yourself digitally somewhere else, right? So that they can't find exactly where you are. And that helps you as you move around the internet, what you're shopping, what you're searching, right? Who you're chatting with, that kind of stuff. It will be masked. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, you need to get a VPN. And ExpressVPN is a great one. They have great customer support. It's very affordable. Right now, you can get 3 months for free, which is a great deal, by going to expressvpn.com/redacted. That's expressvpn.com/redacted. Just visit the site and learn more. It's expressvpn.com/redacted. Because after you hear this next show, this next segment we're going to do about the government spying on you, you already know this. You're going to know this even more. Now you're going to want this.
That's right. That's right. So thank you so much for their support. Yes. So thank you. That's the one I use every day on all of my devices. All right, and please get your super chats in. We're going to answer some of your super chats in a second. But first...
All right, so I want to tell you about this story about U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officials taking your data from your cell phone and your mobile phone when you travel. But first, I want to ask you, kind of show of hands, do you think that if you are stopped by, we're going to call them CBP? It's not an easy initialism to say, but I'm going to try it just so I don't have to say this every time. Do you think that you, if you are stopped by border agents, that you have to unlock your phone, or do you think that you don't?
Like, are you...
But
are you...
So let me just give you an easy way to put your opinion in the chat. Yes, you have to unlock it, or no, you don't. Just ring in on what you think the law is.
No, you don't have to unlock it.
Who said yes?
David did.
I did.
Okay. I'm going to tell you... But I just want to kind of, I want you to know your rights. And I think most people might not know, so they would just do it, right? Or with a fear of missing their flight or not being granted entry into the United States. So, okay. Well, the story is that U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officials have been casually taking data from mobile phones as travelers pass through border checkpoints for years. And they admitted as such. Recent reports say that they have added data from as many as 10,000 devices per year, and that they use that data to run facial recognition searches on millions of Americans' driver's license photos. They also tap private databases of people's financial and utility records to learn where they live. They also took location data from license plate reader databases, and that also can be used to track where people drive.
So these are Americans, because at first I was saying, oh, these are people crossing the border, they're here temporarily. No, no, these are Americans.
Right. So what they do is they take your phone, they ask you to open it, they plug it in and take some data off of it, and that gets uploaded, and Homeland Security then now uses, because your phone can recognize your face in many instances, so can your iPad, right? So they can take the facial recognition information and sort of cross-search it with driver's license. They can keep things that are on your phone. They can take location data, right? Have you been mapping to and from your house? They know where you live. They can take all types of stuff. And it becomes searchable for employees of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, how do we know this?
I don't know if...
So go ahead.
So I don't know if you're gonna get to this. So if you are, like, just let me know. But the thing is, what people don't understand: yes, you're a U.S. citizen. Once they take you in, like, at the border, they put you in a room. You don't have access to a phone call to your lawyer. So you can't call a lawyer and be like, "Hey, come get me out of this." You basically sit in there until you comply. Some people have been held for like 16 plus hours because they don't want to comply. But there's no way out of it. You can't. It's not like you got arrested by the police, where you get to talk to a lawyer. You don't get that here.
Yes. CBP agents are not required to have a warrant to take your phones, at least. And I suppose I didn't know what you had just said, but it makes sense that they also don't have to have probable cause for holding you as well.
So they can just hold you forever in these spaces.
Now,
basically,
Congress had been asking CBP, that's not rolling off the tongue. I can't say that nicely.
Just say, it's easier
I'm
to say
border, the border agent.
It's just easier to say customs, what was it? Customs border.
No, it's not.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Okay.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
So Congress has been asking them about this, and they received a briefing over the summer. That's why Oregon Senator Ron Wyden released information about this briefing last week. He said this. He said that he recently learned that when thousands of Americans' phones are searched at the border every year, their contents are downloaded into a central database where information is held for 15 years and can be accessed by thousands of Department of Homeland Security employees. He wrote a letter to CBP Commissioner Chris Magnus. He said, worse, these devices are searched without warrants, and travelers are often not informed of their rights before their phones are searched because, like we said, they are not required to have a warrant to take cell phones, computers, and iPads. They are the only law enforcement agency that doesn't need to show probable cause when searching through someone's private property.
Joe in our chat, or Joss in our chat, says since 9/11. Has this been since 9/11 they're given this power, this authority to do this?
That's questionable because Well, let's go to what Senator Wyden says. He says that they pressure travelers to unlock their devices without being notified of their rights, and that he wants that to end too. He says, can we put up this next screen, number two? He says, while strong passwords and paraphrases provide a digital self-defense tool against warrantless government surveillance, CBP asserts that Americans are required to cooperate with border search of their devices and that they can pursue available legal remedies against travelers refuse. But the statute that they use to give themselves this right, which enables them to issue fines, dates back to 1986, which is obviously before 9/11, but it's also before the ubiquity of cell phones and encryption technology. He says, moreover, CBP appears to recognize the limits of its authority to force cooperation and seems to be relying on vague language to obtain compliance from travelers who may not fully understand their rights. He says you are supposed to receive a tear sheet. So if you are stopped at the border, you're supposed to get a sheet that informs you of your rights. But Congress found that they are not required to distribute the tear sheet before the search. So they could just pressure you into unlocking your device and then give you the sheet later. It was like, you didn't really have to do that, but here's the sheet, right?
So here's something you could do. If you want, back up your iPhone to the cloud before you go across the border, wipe it, and then go across the border with an empty phone. Then when you get back across, download that update or the backup from iCloud.
You could do that. That's a lot of work.
You could do that. However, if they pull your phone, they could also then pull that iCloud backup that's on the phone, right? Because it's there.
Well, no, they couldn't because the phone, it wouldn't be on it because you're completely wiping it to a factory reset. Resetting the phone. Then when you get back across, you set it up as a device and then you pull that backup back in.
I want to know, I've never had this happen. We've crossed the border a lot. I've never had like a customs and border protection agent like ask for our phone and
you better knock on wood
at customs. I've never had that happen. And I don't know. I've never seen it happen either. Have you ever seen it happen? Has anyone in the chat ever seen this happen?
Well, I travel with children.
Yeah, I've only heard it happen, but I've
never seen. And so all I care about is that they, you know,
What are they saying is the reason? Like, I would be shocked if someone's like, can I have your phone? I'd be like, what? What, sir?
Well, no, I mean, apparently this is happening more than you think. 10,000 phones a year, right? Or laptops. They also, if you're going to wipe your phone, you have to also wipe your iPad or your laptop or whatever else you're traveling with.
Do you happen to know, like, if it's 10,000 phones a year, how many travelers are actually going through? So, like, what's the percentage?
So they actually didn't say. They don't say how many people they've done it to or how big their database is or when it started. So Senator Wyden has said, okay, I'll give you until the end of October to tell me this. Again, this piece about it being cross-referenced by the Department of Homeland Security is also concerning, right? They say they hold this data for up to 15 years, but do you think that anyone in the government is purging data from 2007 as we speak? No, they're going to keep it, right? Yeah. They are not going to keep this.
Diesel baby just gave us a super chat, says, yes, I have traveled with someone who got their phone seized and they cloned info in it. When re-entering the United States, they were an EU citizen, and he, Diesel Baby, was a United States citizen. That's crazy.
I was just reading today that a guy had crossed over the border. He's a U.S. citizen, and when the agent asked him what his business was, he said, I live here. And the agent took offense to how he said that. So then they put him in the back room, seized his phone, cloned the data, just because he felt like the guy was giving him
attitude. Because he got snippy. Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Unbelievable. Like these guys. And then like, we just want to keep expanding the size of government. Keep expanding it. Keep expanding it. You know?
So now Wyden, the senator from Oregon, says that last year he introduced a bill called Protecting Data at the Border Act. He says it's bipartisan. It would require agents then to have a search warrant before taking this treasure trove of data from travelers. And also, prohibit them from delaying or denying entry into the U.S. if someone refuses to unlock your phone. So it does seem like they are threatening you with fines. They actually say they have not enforced any fines, probably because their success rate is pretty high. When they say unlock your phone, people just do it. I would, you know, I wouldn't want to cross anybody, and I don't have any naked pictures on my phone. So
speak for yourself. They're all on my phone. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I really feel it's like, sorry, you're not getting access to my personal data. Because the phone today is not just like a take a picture and send emails. It is everything is on this device now.
Right.
Your Dropbox, all of your financial documents, your health records, everything. Where you live, where you've been. Google tracks everything, so it knows your GPS data. It knows the coordinates of where you were. It knows everything.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, just imagine if you just happen to drive by a place that is on some watch list and you have zero idea, but all of a sudden you've been there. Or let's say you went to Russia for some reason, for no reason whatsoever. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, this person is a person of interest. So now you're on some list because right. you just happen to travel unknowingly to a place that is on some list. Or yeah. cross somebody's path.
Right. And someone was saying, yeah, if you go to Israel or whatever, like, yeah, there you're going to go. Like, come across borders, they're going to look at it. They're going to be very stringent about it. And it's like you're giving up these freedoms.
So it would seem if this happens to you, you should ask for your tear sheet, say, oh, you're supposed to show me my rights. I would like to see that first. It seems like you can refuse to unlock the phone. And again, they use vague language to tell you that, well, we can do these things to you, right? I'm not telling you to be snappish or, you know, resist or anything like that, but you are supposed to receive something that tells you your rights. So you don't have to just be like, oh, okay, my password's 12345. Here you go. Right.
And by the way, we're led to believe that these customers password. And border protection people, like they're trustworthy with our information. They all have access. It's in a database somewhere. Like that, we saw with the IRS targeting conservative groups. We've seen countless times, time and time again, government officials using people's personal and private data. So, are you kidding me? And right. maybe like someone in the chat said, what if you came across the border and you were wearing like a MAGA hat or something like that?
Right.
Right. Going after political opponents.
Or, yeah, you make a good point about the IRS. Like, what if you have some Venmo transactions that you haven't reported, right? Like, oh, here we go. Like, this
yeah.
is...
Yeah, we got you. We don't even need to bring our IRS agents in there.
I wonder about European citizens because, like, you know how Europe is about protecting citizens' data.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are there legal ramifications of seizing the phone of a European citizen and downloading that data without their... actual consent? I mean, I wonder how that gets into like international like treaties.
GDPR yeah. stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, if you yeah. sign into a yeah. European website, it's like letting you know, like, do you consent to give your data over, you know, like they won't even let you in Europe take pictures in schools, like, you know, like posting any pictures of children online or anything like that. Like they're very sensitive to like personal data.
Yeah. You can't get on a class list. For, you know, like a fellow parents, unless you opt in, everything is by default opt out.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, they're really strict with data.
Well, let us know your thoughts on this story. Be sure to subscribe to the channel if you're not already a subscriber. And please, please, please subscribe to our daily newsletter, which is redacted.inc. We're going to take your super chats in a second. We've got some good ones here today. Thank you so much for that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at MedCline. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We told you about them last week. I got my MedCline pillow. If you look at my bedroom, I have like, I think there's like 10 pillows that I have tried scattered around my bedroom and nothing has worked. I've had shoulder pain. I've had neck pain. The way that I sleep either on my side or my back, I've tried to get comfortable. It's just not worked. It's been the pillows. It's been awful until, and this is no joke, MedCline. They sent me the pillow. I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. Probably won't work. It'll probably be like all the other ones and the exact opposite. I've now had the best night's sleep that I've ever had. My sister, she's like, I want one of these. So she ordered one in Pennsylvania. I'm telling you what, it's amazing. So you're able to sleep and you put your arm through this like hole And so it totally supports your right side or your left side, however you're sleeping on your side, right? And you it's like a body pillow. You can wrap around and sleep on it, put your arm through this hole. If you have like shoulder pain at night, there's a natural solution that can bring you real relief. It's the MedCline 3-component shoulder relief system. I'm telling you what, it's amazing. And also, like, if you suffer from acid reflux in your sleep, or if you've got shoulder pain, there's a clinically proven solution that has brought pain relief and a better night's sleep to hundreds of thousands of people, millions. It's not medication, it's not surgery, it's the MedCline sleep system. Two systems that provide relief for acid reflux or shoulder pain. You can just set it up on your side of the bed and go to sleep. It's that simple. When the box arrived, I was like, oh my gosh, this thing is amazing. It's like a wedge with a hole, with a pillow. Oh, it's amazing. I'm telling you, I love it, I love it, I love it. It's been validated in 7 independent clinical trials as the most effective natural sleep treatment for heartburn, for regurgitation, many painful symptoms of GERD, all while you sleep. 93% of patients reported a reduction in nighttime heartburn with reflux relief system and an overall improvement in sleep quality. So this isn't just like a normal pillow, guys. It really is a medical device. The MedCline reflux relief system is proven to reduce exposure to harmful stomach acid 87% than a bed wedge. I'm telling you, I love the shoulder relief system. Helps you suffering from the shoulder pain, rotator cuff pain, injuries, arthritis, sleep issues, and more. I wake up now, shoulder pain is gone. For the first time in 3 years, I have no shoulder pain. I'm telling you, not blowing smoke, guys.
No, it's great.
It is absolutely great.
I'm ordering right now.
I saw someone in the chat last week's like, he probably doesn't even use it. Oh, I use it. I use it. Come to my bedroom. You'll see it.
No, don't come to our bedroom.
No, don't come to my bedroom. But I have shown you a photo of it. I sleep on it every night. I do use it. I love it. And I've gotten rid of all those other crappy pillows. So you must try this.
It's like an adult swaddle, you guys. It's fantastic.
Yes.
And you know, when you swaddle a baby and they look all like perfectly exactly where you need to be, it's great like that.
You know what's so funny is it's like I buy a lot of tech gadgets around the house, you know, and Natalie's like, would you buy now, would you get now? And I showed her because we each got one, and she's like, okay. And she tried it, she's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
she's like, this is amazing. She's like, I'm all tucked in, don't bother me, I'm going to sleep. And she's like a baby swaddled up in this thing. It's amazing. So she loves it, I love it. Get 20% off right now. 20% off. The holidays are coming up. If you've got someone in your family that suffers from shoulder pain, you have shoulder pain, acid reflux, any of it, just try it. Go and check it out. And you have nothing, I mean, you have nothing to worry about. You're going to get 20% off and you get a 60-night sleep guarantee. So if you don't like it, it doesn't work for you, 60-day sleep guarantee, 60-night sleep guarantee.
One user in the chat says, a nest of pillows is compulsory. And that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
It's like your own little personal nest. That's a great way to put it.
It is. It's like a little nest.
Like, I'm not coming out of here.
Go get 20% off right now. Go to medcline.com/redacted. You have to use that URL on your screen. Medcline.com/redacted. Get 20% off and a better night's sleep today. Medcline.com/redacted. That's MedCline.com/redacted. All right. Let's do some super chats here on this Monday. Is it Monday?
It is.
It is Monday.
It is Monday.
All right.
Okay. So we got one from Ellis. Can you please speak to child suicide? My daughter, 14 years, committed suicide on the 12th. She developed an anxiety disorder during the lockdown. Thank you. Please don't let her death be in vain. Give your kids just one more hug.
Well, every parent watching right now listening, yes, yes. You know, if there's anything that we can do for these kids right now, given the fact that the lockdowns, what they did for, that's awful, Ellis. Our heart goes out to you. We saw that early, that super chat came in early before the show started, and just our hearts were breaking here in the studio. Awful, awful. So our thoughts are with your family. I can't imagine. I've had something similar in our family, in my family's history as well with that. It's never easy, and it leaves the family just really, really devastated. But if there's anything we can do in the 2 years that people have been locked down and the emotional damage that has caused families and children who didn't know how to socially grow, how to talk to anyone, like what they were going through. I think I'm not a psychologist, we're not doctors, but just talking to people, actually finding out what's going on with a person. How was your day? What was, you know, what happened?
Well, beyond that, also, it's time to sort of admit that we went along with policies that harmed a generation below us in order to protect who, right?
Yeah.
And we must never do that again, you know, by people who say like, oh, it's all about the children. It wasn't, obviously. Nothing was about the children.
No, and they're going to try to make us locked down again because of climate change. They're already working on this, guys. They're already working on to keep us locked in because of climate change. So they're going to do that to us, and we're going to say no to it. That's what we've got to do. All right, next super chat.
The Iranian Putin, I made it.
Oh,
Rhett Ashton. Redacted his hands down, the best place for information. Thank you, all team members, for all that you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Deco Maniac, could you please look into the David Strait YouTube videos? He has an interesting take on our laws and constitutional rights. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Note taken.
Mark Adrazak. I'm sorry, Mark. I think I butcher your name every time. Adrazak. Adrazak. Watch Vice News series called Russian Roulette on YouTube to see how this all started. Ukraine has been bombing, torturing, and killing since 2014.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
R.E. Lopez, how many treaties has Russia broken? Remember what Stalin did? Putin will expand this war, and many innocent people will die, including Americans.
Okay, how many innocent people have already died?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seth Reed, you guys are killing it. Best news source by far. Keep up the great work. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bob Samardzic, Azure is a major exporter of Caspian oil. Control of this region is crucial.
Hmm. Oh, Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
JJ Garrett, you're the most honest news team out there.
Thank you very much.
Island 13, Russia became an enemy when Trump took office. We've been taught or told they were the enemy for how far back has the Soviet Union been our quote unquote enemy?
Yeah. We grew up with Rocky IV. We grew up with Red Dawn, right? Yeah. They're the enemy. You.
Yeah. Stranger Things now.
Right. My whole life they've been the enemy.
That's right.
We've been
Stranger told. Things. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Kingdom of Armenia. Never forget the Armenian genocide.
Yeah.
Captain Steve, please can you look into the strange clots that embalmers are finding in bodies world over? Please, true or not, scaring me.
Okay.
Oh, yes, embalmers.
Embalmers, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard about that too. Oh. There's a lot of funeral home directors and stuff being silenced on social media for trying, like they're wondering why there's so many kids there lately.
Yeah, there's a lot I'm just seeing here. We're gonna a story we might be working on the show.
Diesel baby, yes, I have traveled with someone who got their phone seized and they cloned the info in it when re-entering the U.S. They were in a U.S. I think you might have read that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Cryptolysia. That is so crazy. If you come legally, you get spayed on, but if you come illegally, nobody cares. Get spied on.
I suppose you're right. Yeah, I don't know. They don't take your phone.
Andrea Viola, how many were wearing MAGA gear?
Yeah.
Bath Chakama, this news is not for the faint of heart. Thank you for your courage to report and keep us informed with the real news.
Oh, well, thanks for sticking it out with us.
Then Rumple Gold, no idea if it's sent earlier, but hey, Clayton, are you enjoying my show? I'm busy right now and keep missing your show.
So his show is the new House of Dragons, the Game of Thrones prequel, right?
Rumpelgold. Yeah, it's actually really good.
Rumpelgold is one of our longtime viewers here and is in the new Game of Thrones show. So if you see Rumpelgold in the chat, say hello to Rumple. Is in the Game of Thrones show. I have not. Natalie and I haven't started it yet. She's been too nervous to start it.
Yeah.
I was so skeptical. But here's what we did. We started it and we realized it only comes out every Friday. So we're like, okay, we're going to wait so that we can binge it. So we stopped and now we're watching Stranger Things. And then we're going to go back once they're all out and then watch it.
Okay.
Because it is really good.
All right.
I mean, our show is so violent with like global politics that I feel like the truth is stranger than fiction. I don't need more of that.
Yeah.
Also, even if it's good, right? Like good in terms of Game of Thrones is still super violent. And I just don't have it in me right now.
So. You know, I actually, so I've scrolled past this movie I don't know how many times. And then finally, recently, I'm like, you know what? I love music. I'm just going to watch it. So I watched Sing and Sing 2.
Yeah.
Those are two of the best animated movies I have ever seen. I was
they're
shocked
cute
at how good they were.
My kids love Elton John because of them.
Yeah. Best animated movies. And also, if you want a palate cleanser, Paddington. Paddington and Paddington 2 are two of the best movies I've
ever
seen.
Super cute movies.
Yeah, really, really good.
Really? I don't think I've even heard of those.
I stick with the iBleach subreddit is how I like to, if like things get really bad, it's literally just pictures of like kittens and puppies.
All right.
iBleach. Diesel, baby, there is a nationwide data protection bill with stronger protections than GDPR for U.S. that is being held up by CA reps right now because of CA's statewide law.
Interesting.
And also from Diesel Baby, also everyone learn how to use POP encryption.
Okay.
And then last one is Raymond Piper. They are giving Viagra for 60% burns. They say it keeps the sheets off them. I'm not sure.
I don't understand that.
What that means, but I don't either.
I don't know.
That's the last one.
All right. Well, thanks to all of you for subscribing. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Again, we have a daily newsletter. Please subscribe by going to redacted.inc. That's the website. Rumpel Gold says, Natalie, you're fine, Natalie. Ultimate respect as a super chat. But we'll get her there.
I may get around to it.
She
maybe
will get
like
around.
Christmas time. We are going to take off some shows around the holidays and if I'm not following, you know, terrible bombing in the world.
Well, my mom will be visiting, so we'll watch. How about we'll do that? House of Dragons during the Christmas season.
Your mom is not going to do that.
The perfect holiday. Perfect holiday. Get the kids together. Watch House of Dragons.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. We'll see.
All right,
guys. All right,
everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Much love. We'll see you guys. Bye.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.